Lord, come and help us today. What we really want to happen, we want to see you put something in our toolboxes today that causes us to have some practical power to fight fear with. And on a corporate level, on a national level, on a familial level, on a personal level. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to start out with some quotes about fear. One of them I even wrote. The wise man, when he's in a storm, prays to God, not for safety from danger, but for deliverance from fear. The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear. That's terrible, isn't it? Yeah. This one I want to spend just a little bit of time on. Fear closes the ears of the mind. Now just think about that for a minute. Fear closes the ears of the mind. I'm going to talk to you just a second, speak to you from what I said last week about trying to deal with birthing and interpreting hope. Interpreting hope brings a fullness that irons out the creases that time has burned into the garment of your memory. The disappointments and disillusionments wrinkle your perspective and cripple your hope, but when hope is interpreted to the human heart, healing, encouragement, and energy are released, and there's a fresh connection to the future. Nothing cripples hope like fear. And so we're talking about interpreting hope, understanding hope, letting hope get in our hearts in a birthing, seminal type of way. And you know what the enemy will do. He'll just vomit fear all over you to try to keep you from connecting correctly with hope. As we are liberated from our fears, our presence automatically liberates others. See, that's impartation. To the pure in heart, nothing really bad can happen. Not death, but sin should be our great fear. That's Tozer. He always says it pretty good. And then whenever I hear about Christ as our Savior and hear that he saves us from our sin, I know he does. But in my experience, he does more than that. He releases us from fear, and I think fear is the greater killer. Strong stuff. This is good. Fear is the tax that conscience pays to guilt. Yeah. So it's like living free from the IRS when you get rid of fear. I mean, really, that's kind of what it's saying. Fear enfeebles instead of encourages or empowers. It enfeebles. He who lives in fear will never be a free man. Fear is the sand in the machinery of life. You ever have taken like bearings or anything that got sand in them? Oh, it messes everything up. But the chains of love are stronger than the chains of fear. So everybody deals with it. We all deal with it differently. So if you're, this is like listening to the news. Turn on the news and here's what you hear. COVID-19, human trafficking, gender confusion, internet pornography, a roller coaster Dow Jones, teenage suicides, North Korea, the Middle East, terrorism, racial unrest, distrust of government, and economic uncertainty. Next, reports about the condition of our world pump fear, anxiety, and discouragement into us from every corner. What are we supposed to do? How do we counter the tidal wave of evil, darkness, and degeneration that surrounds us? And I want to tell you, I think the Bible gives us answers for what to do with fear. Now, I wrote this morning. I'm just going to read it. I haven't had a chance to do anything with it. I usually let it sit a few days and I come back and look at it again. But I just, this is in my journal. This is not the Bible, okay? I said, Lord, how would you speak to me this morning? And he said, well, you're going to speak on fear today. Fear is the halitosis of the enemy. It's a dark, rotten, stinking, bad breath that has a toxic effect on the heart of human beings. It putrefies hope if allowed to linger and makes everything look old, tattered, beaten. My love births hope and brings the light of my word and my presence to raise you up, energize you, and reconnect you with your purpose, your future, and your destiny. Fear is a human emotion, like joy or love or compassion, but it also is a tainted wind that blows from the enemy's presence. And then I just wrote James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the enemy, and he will flee. My powerful love is the element that solves the fear problem and dissolves fear's effects. So I think that may be some of what he wants to do with us and for us today. 1 Peter chapter 1, start with the first verse. And I wrote this out or had it printed out in the Amplified version, but I really like New American Standard best, so I'll insert it right here. Peter, an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, writing to the elect exiles of the dispersion scattered about in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. What the New American Standard says, Peter's writing to those who reside as aliens. Now, we think of aliens as phone home, right? But an alien is a person that's dispossessed from the current place that they live, and they're not welcome there. And there's resistance and stuff like that. He says, you guys are living like aliens. You ever feel that way? Now, I'm not trying to get you to have a complex about it or anything, but we're citizens of two kingdoms, aren't we? Sure, sure. And so, I mean, if I walked into a fraternity party, I would look like an alien. I might look like one now, I guess, didn't think about that. But as to what is going on and what you would be celebrating and those kind of things, I wouldn't identify with that, nor would they identify with me. And there's a sense in which fear does that in a wonderful way, separates you from feeling like you belong and like that you count and that you're approved of, you know? And so Peter's writing to Christians that have been scattered all over the place because of persecution. He said, you're living here like aliens. Well, that's kind of the negative side of the coin. But he said, I'm writing to you, verse 2, who were chosen and foreknown by God. That's, you know what it's like to feel chosen? You ever have a pickup basketball game or football game or something like that, and they picked you because they wanted you to play? That's before they saw me play. But there's something about being chosen, being appointed, being set apart for something that is like, oh, yeah. And he's saying, you've been chosen by God. Now, there's a little something more when you've been chosen by God. Well, how do I know that I'm chosen by God? Because the book says so. He says so. Now, well, yeah, but I'm not a speaker or a preacher or a missionary. Well, sure you are. Just not doing it for a living. You do it as you live. Right? So he said, you've been chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated, which means set aside, made holy, by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus and to be sprinkled with his blood. You've been chosen to obey. To me, this, I read this the first time and I thought, no kidding. A, I've been chosen, and I wouldn't choose me if I was thinking about holy things, especially when I first got saved. Only holy thing I had was socks, you know? Swiss cheese, the other thing. But he said, you've been chosen to obey. And I wasn't very smart when I read that. I was brand new, and I thought, but that means he's going to help me obey if that's what he chose me to do. Yeah. I mean, if I was chosen to be a carpenter, he'd probably give me skills with saws and, you know, squares and all that kind of stuff. I'm not. But he said, I've chosen you to obey. Well, but I don't think I'm worthy of that. He said, and to be sprinkled by his blood, which qualifies me, right? Makes me clean, makes me in right relationship with him, makes me righteous in his sight. Now you got to know that, because the enemy is going to come and tell you that you're not righteous and you're not even in his sight, and he doesn't want anything to do with you. right? Alien. He's going to push the alien part. You've got to recognize, no, I've been chosen to obey. And my first statement when I read that those many years ago, I said, that gives me a shot. I got a shot at doing this because he chose me to be able to do it. And then he said, and you've been sprinkled by his blood. Well, that means I'm in, I'm clean. If he says so, I am, whether I act like it, think like it, or not. And I'll grow up and grow into that. Now, of course, fear will try to keep you from growing up and growing into that. He says, you've been chosen to obey and to be sprinkled by his blood. Now may grace and peace be given to you in increasing abundance. That spiritual peace that you can realize in Jesus. Freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. He wants to free us. He said, this is the grace of God coming to free you from fears. Not just fear itself, but all of the kinds of fears that face us. That's why I use the Amplified. I thought, really? That says it so good. So praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, to an ever-living hope. You just don't have a hope. It's an ever-living hope. Well, but that means I can't be hopeless. Exactly. If hope ever lives in you, then you have the opportunity ever to live in hope. Right? Now, the enemy will try to distort your realization of that so that you don't feel connected to hope. But when fear is vanquished, hope's a reality. So, talked about hope last week and how to maybe get that worked into your situation. And you have to, when you get disassociated from hope, usually there's a fear involved. Or there's that thing about, I goofed, I messed up, and now I'm paying that tax to guilt, because guilt's a real driver in this thing too. So, he says, you've been chosen. So, we are resident aliens who have been chosen. Resident, because we're here. Aliens, because we also have our home. We actually operate out of a different base, right? So, we're not working from home, right? Seated at the right hand of the Father, we have a place at home, right? But he said, okay, you're like resident aliens. You're here, but this is not your source. This is not where you, if I can say it, where you come from. As a matter of fact, you've been credentialed from heaven as an ambassador of heaven to the earth. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Isn't that strong? Where's God in all this? He's working through Jesus to reconcile mankind to himself and not counting our trespasses against us. Wow. See, that'll give you hope right there. And it will help you fight fear, because the enemy will come and say, I know what you did on September 11th, blah, 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 blah. And then show you a panoramic rerun of the movie, of you either doing it or watching, you know, or being involved. And he goes, yeah, but he's not counting that against me. I've been sprinkled by the blood. He's not counting that against me. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. So what's an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who kind of lives as an alien because they're not a registered citizen of the place where they are. And they represent another power, another authority, another government. And they have been credentialed with the authority to represent the power of the government that they're connected to. And so that's what we are. He says, you guys are ambassadors. Now, I don't know about you. I've never been mistaken for an ambassador, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But we're credentialed. That's right. Born again, chosen to obey, sprinkled by the blood. God has called us and counted us as righteous so we can follow through with him and represent and say what he's saying and do what we see him do. Yes. And so we have authority as an ambassador would. Now, I wish it was like a real ambassador so you couldn't get a ticket. That would be cool. Right? But you know what? You don't have to let the things here arrest you. Are we okay? Because we have authority. We've been authorized as an ambassador, a representative. So think about that. When you go out the door on Monday morning, I'm an ambassador. You don't have to have a briefcase and black car come and pick you up and that kind of stuff. But, well, yeah, but that's just talk. No, Paul says in Ephesians 6, I am an ambassador in chains because he's in jail. Ambassadors aren't supposed to get jailed, but it hadn't changed his purpose or his calling or his sending. You're living among them to represent the nation from which you come, and we are here to bring that which is real in heaven to earth, the answer to the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Right? So, now wait a minute. Why are you saying all this? You're trying to make me feel good. Yes, I am. But I'm trying to keep you from the enemy making you feel less than. Other than, because all the things I'm saying are true, and they're true about you. Well, yeah, but I'm not a preacher. Well, some would say I'm not either. But the reality is, we are representatives. We are to represent the life and the nature of Jesus to people, the living Word of God, huh? And I mean, I don't know. Before I met the first person I met from Estonia, I'd never been there and didn't know anything about it. But once I met someone from there, now I've been there 20 times or whatever like that, and I know a few things about the people and the government and all that kind of stuff because I've become acquainted because someone was an ambassador of the country to me. That's true about the kingdom. Right. And we all need to be representatives. So what do? Go out and live saved where you are. Don't hide it. Don't flash it. You know, you don't have the neon belt buckle that says ambassador for the kingdom. You don't have to have that. But you do need to be wearing the badge of discipleship. Why am I? I'm here because he put me here. And I've been chosen because he chose me to be here in this season of my life. And so I want the fullness of the Lord to come through. And I don't want the enemy to be messing with me and keep me from doing the thing I've been called to do. I put a little prayer confession here on the outline. I'm going to read it because people on the live stream don't have the outline, but I said, here's a great confession and declaration you can use in prayer. And it's based on 1 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3. So I don't normally write prayers and read them. If it's okay to do it, I don't normally, but I do write prayer confessions that are declarations of the truth, and then I'm proclaiming, right? This is the truth, and I'm saying that to all the unseen witnesses. Here's the truth. I have been chosen by God and the sanctifying work of his Spirit to obey the Lord Jesus in all things. By his boundless mercy, I have been born again to an ever-living hope through the power of his resurrection from the dead. Now, what does that mean? That means I know who he says I am, and I'm now telling you because I know who I am. And so let's get this on an even keel, because you're saying that as a worship to the Lord, but you're also saying as a declaration to the enemy of stand back, because I know who he says I am, and I know who he is in me and who I am in him. That's really important. Why is I say that that's important? It's hard to remain hopeless when you know that's true. That's right. And sometimes you just need to say it. I know I've said this a million times. This will be a million one, so I'll you're keeping track, but it's really true. You believe what you hear spoken in your own voice more than anything else. So when you say the truth, even if you're only saying it to yourself, you're encouraging yourself to believe. You're also telling the Lord, I know this is true. I'm having trouble functioning like it's true, but I know it's true. I told somebody the other day, I know so many principles of the word. So many principles of God. But I don't always fulfill and complete the process of those being real in my life. And this doing things like this will help graduate you from just knowing the principle to being engaged in the process of that becoming real in you. Amen. That's right. So Well, so then should I do that? Wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt. I don't, like I say, I'm not a person who normally writes out prayers. I just, because I talk a lot anyway, it's not hard for me to pray. And I a lot of times pray the Bible, so that's easy too. But I'm telling you, it's good to, you know there's an enemy. Yes, I know there's an enemy. Well, then you tell him. You know, you don't have to get all jacked up about it, but you can say, it's tomorrow's Monday, and here's how I'm going to face Monday. And you say the truth. I've been washed in his blood. It just helps you stay current. And see, then you'll be in the flow when you're current. Don't need to do that again? But there's something about current that has power in it. Electricity is a measure of current. And if you stay current and you're in the flow of the river of God, of the stream of his presence and his power, then you can be current and you can have current. The church in the Western world is desperate for power. Yes. We need demonstrations of the Spirit and power because we're facing so many things that are adverse to the kingdom. And we've got to be able to take the staff of God, which rod and staff comfort me, right? We've got to be able to put it down, and that needs to turn to a snake and swallow their snake. Right. Did you ever see the movie? Okay, then you know what I'm talking about. It's in the Bible. It made the movie good, and it wasn't reverse. The Bible, the movie didn't make that famous. The Bible made that famous. But it's true. The authority that's been invested in us is greater than the authority that the enemy works with. And we have to know that. And if you know that, it's harder to live afraid. I'm not saying it's impossible because we are human beings. But what time I am afraid, I'm trusting in him. I'm going to say the things he says about me till I live the things that he says about me are real and true. That's kind of what Peter is telling them. You guys are out there and you're in trouble. So, he said, we've been born into an ever-living hope. So my question is, so, is that real about you? Are you really functioning? Are you just jumping through religious hoops? Are you jaded from religious hype? Are you jilted from religious hurts? Or are you living empowered by hope? All of those things can happen to you. If you've been in the church for 30 years and nobody's ever broken your heart, where you been? If you're in any group of people for 30 years, you're going to experience some conflict and some disappointment, and you're also probably going to be a conflictor and a disappointer. I mean, that's just what happens because we're human beings. But to live through this life that we've been given and end up at this end knowing I'm hooked to an ever-living hope is so much better than just to go through jilted or jolted by things that have happened. And if fear is out and hope is in, you have a much better chance of that being a reality. So the first element that dissolves fear is a living hope. And if you get that one and you keep that one, you're in much better shape. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, we've been chosen, we've been born again, we've had this living hope. Verse 4, in order to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and won't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Has anybody been distressed by a trial? Or various trials? Like 2020 or 2021? And he said, that happens. And even if that happens for a little while, he said, you are guarded and protected by the power of God for faith. The final thing hasn't been revealed yet. So you are protected by the Lord. How do we know that? You're still here. Right? Now, don't bad things happen to good people? Bad things happen in this world because the world is atrophying. It's circling the bowl, I like to say. It's passing away. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. It's going to happen. Have you ever noticed that? I don't have time to do this, but Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. Well, can't he fix that? Couldn't he? He's talking, he's saying, I know human nature. And because you're always going to have mean, sadistic, greedy people, you're always going to have poor people. Now, he didn't say that, but I think that's what he means. You're always going to have the cause of poverty, and the cause of poverty is the reaction and the result of greed. on the part of other people. Now, I don't like that, but he didn't say, and you'll like it. That's not in the verse. So he says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, there's going to be a big celebration on this thing, either when you go to him or he comes to us. And though you have not seen him, you love him. Boy, that's helpful. He's saying, I know that you haven't seen him with your natural eye, but you love him anyway. Good for you, because that means you're walking by faith, not sight. And faith is what pleases him. And though you haven't seen him, you love him. And though you don't see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Even in the midst of the various trials, there's opportunity for worship and honor and adoration. Why? Because we get the picture. We know what this is like. If I'm an ambassador from another place, that means there's somebody running the other place that's got the answers. I'm just dispatched, which is what it's like for all of us. So, he said, you've been set aside for an inheritance, imperishable, that means it's everlasting, undefiled, means it's pure and perfect. It won't fade away, so nothing you expose it to makes it less than. Whether it's time or trouble or trial or any of those things. We are guarded and protected and garrisoned, would be the biblical word, by the power of God until this is all over. Well, see, that makes you not feel so afraid because you're not alone. If God's in this thing protecting me, even though I don't see it exactly the way he might see it, I know it's true because the Bible says it's true. I said this, faith-empowered eyes can see and rejoice in the fear-defeating truth of the hope that lives in us. Let me say that again. Faith-empowered eyes can see and rejoice in the fear-defeating truth of the hope that lives in us. If you have a fear-defeating hope living in you, then it's easier to see, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Right. And you're able to see how much fear is not the way to live. And it doesn't come from God. The Lord's not out to frighten us. He's out to protect us. The enemy, on the other hand, is out to fear us. Now, fear is an emotion, but it's also an enemy. And so you can't be friendly with the enemy. So when fear comes, you push against that because God's not the source of it. Right? Now, if all of a sudden you were just standing on the street and a bullet whizzed by your ear and you weren't afraid, you'd be kind of stupid. Wouldn't you? But see, fear is an emotion and self-control is supposed to handle that. But fear is also an enemy. Fear is a spirit. It's a spiritual thing, and you have to combat that with spiritual weaponry. And, of course, the enemy would love to get you to that place where you're so afraid of being afraid that you'll never do the things that might cause fear to arise. 1 John chapter 5, I know we spent some time there recently, first four verses. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and they are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. It's faith that overcomes the world, and faith works through love. So faith and love are pretty powerful weapons. Faith works through love, and when we love him, we obey him, and when we obey him, we're loving him. That is the most delivering thing I ever discovered from John chapter 14, because I never wanted anybody to tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. And Jesus is the boss of the whole thing. He is the ruler of the universe. And I found out I wasn't good at obeying him, but I did love him. And when I loved him, he said, that's obeying me. And when I worked through loving him, I obeyed him pretty good. But when I was told to obey, I didn't do that so good. And I thought, that's really cool of you to do that. Because people that are instant to obey, good for you. I don't know. You're wired differently than I am. But for people who are empowered by love and that brings obedience, wow. And that's what he's saying. And in this, being wrapped up in this, you can recognize if you love him and you're walking in love and he's empowering you with love, fear just doesn't have the Velcro effect that it has when you're not. Religion does not fight fear, it brings it. Right? Because you're going to make a mistake and then you're going to feel guilty and there you go. So Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. If you obey me, you love me. And between those two things, now I'm doing what he wants me to do. And I am overcoming the world because it's by faith. Weiss says it this way in 1 John 5:4. And his commandments are not burdensome because everything that has been born of God is constantly coming off victorious over the world. Our faith. Who is he that is constantly coming off victorious over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The God-birthed faith in you overcomes the world and the fear of the world that the world throws at you, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So what overcomes the world? Being born again. Being born of God. Really? I didn't know that. You do now. Because you don't have to wait for something else. He said, no, I am placing in you my presence. You become a partaker of the divine nature, and that's greater than the fear and the crud that's in the world. So when the enemy mixes up a fear cocktail, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and guilt and shame and all that kind of stuff, and hands it to you, just spit it out. He's going to hand it to you. He's going to bring fearful things. I mean, you know, I never thought we'd see that, but remember all the beheadings and stuff that were on YouTube and all that kind of stuff? You know, that's frightening stuff. And what it ought to cause is a cause to hate the enemy. Not be afraid that's going to happen. I mean, I don't want that to happen. But stuff like that, we're never supposed to have that kind of thing happen, especially if governments are sponsoring it or anything like that. It makes it more wicked and more evil. The more you see what fear is like, the more you realize that's why he told Nicodemus, listen, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God or enter into it. But when we do enter into the kingdom of God, now we're garrisoned by angels and the power of the Spirit of God and empowered by the Word of God, and we have weapons to push back against the fear. Am I making sense? So what overcomes the world? That which is born of God. What's born of God? Individual people. Individual hearts. And we carry a new life. Now he says, in that new life, I've called you to be an ambassador. Go distribute. Go distribute. But if the enemy can cripple us by fear, we'll never get into the public. We'll never be able to wear it, share it like we're supposed to. And so I don't know that I've ever seen a time when there's more to be afraid of. Now, I was born during the Korean conflict, but I was not alive for World War I or World War II. And I'm sure people, especially people who were getting, their nations were being bombed, I'm sure they lived in a lot of different kinds of fear. But that's if I can say it, that's a natural fear, right? But when the enemy is thinking, I'm going to take your kids, I'm going to cripple your grandkids, I'm going to keep them from fulfilling their destiny, I'm going to cause this, or you know what I'm saying? These kind of things, and you think, that kind of fear is really seditious. I mean, it's ugly. I'm not saying the other kind isn't, but you can understand. We're at war, people are dropping bombs on us, we got to get out of here. I mean, I can understand why everybody in World War I or World War II would have thought that was the end of the world. It wasn't, right? But I'm telling you, the kind of world we're talking about, we're not talking about the earth, we're talking about this whole environment that is the world, this whole atmosphere in which we live. And fear is tainted this thing worse and worse and worse. And of course, the internet is able to spread it. So we have to be aware of it. I mean, haven't you run into more hopeless people in the last couple of years than you have before? I have. Why? Because fear is pounding away at any kind of identity they might have in the Lord. And if they don't have the Lord, I'd be afraid too. You know? But of course, we have hope for them. We can birth them out of that into the kingdom of God. But you've got to know one of the fear-dissolving tools is the fact that that which has been born of God overcomes the world. Well, but it doesn't feel like it. I'm just telling you what the truth is. And you've got to stand in it. You've got to say it, believe it, you know. Now, you don't go up to somebody, hey, I'm not afraid of you because I've been born of God. Well, they might knock your block off if you got a block. But the idea is you need to be telling that to yourself. You need to know that. Your children need to know that. Your families need to know that. That, hey, there's something different than just might. There's the power and authority that comes from heaven. And I love the way he says that. So whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. Now, does that mean your faith is as strong as it could be? Probably not. That's not the point. The point is, what's happened to me has put me in a place where I can boldly say, I'm his and he's mine. And all the things that I've been saying today that are in the scriptures are true. So the second element that dissolves fear is whatever was born of God overcomes the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. I'm putting it in high gear here. We'll be done pretty quick. But the kickoff's not till 7. See that? Consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Now, he's talking to the Corinthian church. So he's saying, you guys are a bunch of blue-collar guys. That's what he's saying. I know I was at a vineyard pastors conference a long time ago, and it was summertime. People were dressed relaxed, you know, and a very well-known evangelical pastor was one of the speakers, and he got up and he just looked. He had a nice suit and tie and everything on, you know, and he looked out and he said, my God, you people look like a Reebok commercial. I just thought that was not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not so that he may nullify the things that are. God is a nullifier of the stuff that opposes us. Amen. I call this the nullification factor. Yeah. That he may nullify the things that are so that no man can boast before God, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So let him who boast of the Lord. I love that. God has chosen the things that are not so that he may nullify the things that are. You got to know that. He's a nullifier of those things, like the Red Sea. And the fire that couldn't burn up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I mean, right? And the snake that didn't kill Paul when it bit him. And he nullifies things. And I think I've prayed this a lot for situations. Lord, would you nullify the effect that the enemy is having in this situation? We want to call it to an end. These things that are, you call those things that are when they aren't. We pray that you would cause the things to come that would nullify these things now, in Jesus' name. Am I making sense? But did you ever, I mean, we worship God for being a lot of things, but very seldom do we worship him for being the nullifier. But he is the nullifying effect. I love that. And to me, now nobody else may tell you that that's a fear fighter. I'm telling you this is a fear fighter. Because it's like the divine eraser.
takes it out, takes it out. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah aren't planning, giving us any trouble anymore, are they? He nullified the trouble, like the plagues. You know, he brings a nullifying effect. And then the last one, the fourth element that I've written down in dissolving fear is just the ultimate supremacy of who Jesus is. Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches of both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things are and through whom we exist. So here's the four elements: an ever-living hope, an overcoming faith, the nullification factor, and the supremacy of Jesus. If you live and exercise the truth of those four things, it's going to be harder for fear to keep you back and keep you down. Fear won't keep coming because the enemy's only the enemy. He's got what he's got. He can't change. He's only wicked, evil. He's a liar. He's a distorter. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. That's all he can do. He's only going to do those things, and he's going to repetitively do those things. He won't stop. He can't. He doesn't have, this is how he exists. It's darkness. I love that little thing was in my journal today, that fear is like the halitosis of the enemy. Yeah. I mean, don't you hate it when there's fear in the air? You know, just, and it's toxic. It is. And we're never supposed to live motivated by fear. And I grew up very fearful as a child. I was in a very violent household, and my dad was big, mean, violent, alcoholic stuff. And now, I had reason to be afraid, but I was. And man, that's hard to work out. It's so hard to work out. And lots of people live in circumstances like those. And it's no wonder people don't have self-confidence. So what they do is try to get too much of it because they don't think they have any, and then it's arrogance. And then proudful people aren't fun to be around. But I think a lot of proud people are just scared to death of the real truth, and they're putting on a front that they're really something because they don't think they're anything. The enemy wants you to think you're nothing because God loves you and thinks you're really something. Sent his son to die for you. So he really does think that we're something. And the last thing he wants for us to do is to live by fear. If you want to, one of these days, just kind of browse through the Gospels and see how many times Jesus says, don't be afraid, fear not. Right? Don't fear. Over and over and over. Why? Because people are prone to, and the enemy's always out there with his bellows, pumping the fear wind on you. And I said, well, you know, you don't have to take that. You just can't settle for that. I'm not saying, you know, you go out there and punch them out. It makes me feel that way. I hate it when I find somebody who's, you know, such a good kid, you know, and motivated, but fear stops them at every, and you can see it in people. People are afraid to do lots of things, natural things, spiritual things, both. I just want you to know that the Father who chose you, doesn't want you to live in fear, doesn't want you motivated by fear, and doesn't want you to propagate fear. Because if it's what's in you, it's what will come out of you. Am I right? So how do we change that? Well, by knowing these things, praying these things, saying these things, and believing that he really did choose us, and he really has cleansed us, and there really is another way to live that's just not by fear. Now, fear is not unnatural, because I'm afraid to do things oftentimes that I've never done before, or I don't like doing things I'm not good at, so there's a lot of things I don't like, But I mean, haven't you ever had that? I have to go do this and I've never done it before. Or I have to go have a test and I've never been to that clinic before. The hospital, I don't know where to park. You know, those kind of little fears. But for some people, that keeps them at home. They can't break through it. And the way that you overcome fear is by doing the thing you're afraid of. Oftentimes, isn't that true?
Yeah.
I know when I was I had a job that made me cold call. Just go knock doors and stuff like that. And I said, it's like they gave me a yellow page and said, here's your prospect list. Yellow pages if you're too young. Anyway. It just dawned on me. Maybe not, you know. And so I did, what was I going to do? Because I had to write down what I did, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I'd make a game out of it, and I'd knock on the door. And I'd wait to see what was going to come out of my mouth, because I had no idea what I was going to say. And I pulled it off. I even sold some stuff, you know, much to my amazement. But I don't like doing that, but I'm not afraid to do that anymore, because I was forced. I mean, like forced to do it, because I had to make a living. That's what it took. But I also realized, if I have to do that to make a living, I need to get a different job, because it took too much out of me. But I did it, amazingly. All I'm saying is, facing fear isn't as difficult when you realize you're backed up by love. And, you know, I got to pray for some people out of that. I really did. It was kind of fun. It was horrible at first, but it was kind of fun, except for the bad people, and then they were not any fun. But you understand what I'm saying. Facing the fear is half the battle, just facing it and not running from it. And I don't know what the Lord has for you, and I don't know what the enemy's trying to keep from you, but I know this. He will hammer at hope so you won't, because if your hope dies, you're not going to walk in faith. Right? I mean, that's just how it happens. It cripples it. So, Lord, thank you for putting things in the Bible that equip us. Telling us the truth about us is so strong. And Lord, would you empower us and grace us to tell the enemy the truth about us, that we can do that and say, yeah, you can make me feel this way, but here's the reality. Here's the truth. Here's what God says. I've heard what you said. Now I'm telling you what he says and what I think. And I'm going to keep thinking that till this is my natural way of thinking. So you keep doing your stuff, do it. But I'm submitting myself to the Lord. I am resisting you, and I'm commanding you to flee.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, I need to quit here real quick. Everybody at home, you can keep your eyes open, I guess. But everybody in here, would you just close your eyes or bow your head for just a second? I just need to kind of take the pulse. How many people have been fighting fear? Okay, yeah. Wow. That's 92%. I understand that. Me too. I mean, it pushes at you all the time. What are we going to do about that? You have to believe what the Lord says. And you have to accept it as the final word and the final reality. It may not be the reality you are experiencing in the moment, but it is real and true all moments. And this is like an adjustment. Like I just came down from the stage and walked over here. Okay, now put myself in a different place. I'm not going to approach it from that cringing place that I approached it before. I'm going to stand here knowing what God has said, knowing what the Bible says is true, knowing that I'm not alone in this. I have others that are fighting the same thing. And I also know the ultimate outcome is freedom. The ultimate outcome is peace. If you're fighting this and you really need some help, don't want to embarrass anybody, but almost everybody raised their hand, raise their hand. If you want to get prayed for, just step out into the aisle real quick. Just jump up and step out in the aisle, and we can pray for each other that way. There are people up several places. Thank you. Now, those of you who are looking, Why don't you find someone close to you and pray for them, pray with them. If you'd like to have them pray for you, you can do that too. I'm going to pray from up here, but I'd like, I've got somebody, Donna, over here. We need somebody in this aisle here, please. Great, thank you. Has everybody got somebody? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we push back against fear. We say, you spirit of fear, you have no business with us. You have no right over us. You have no authority over us. You have no welcome in us. And we submit ourselves to the lordship of Jesus, and we resist you and command you to flee. Quit lying to me. Quit pushing. Leave my dreams alone. Stay away from my quiet time. Do not enter when I'm trying to worship. Lord, we push back against the spirit of fear and the lies of the enemy. And Lord, I pray you would, I see the Lord laying pipe, like underground pipe. And it's like to hook up to your heart and put hope in your heart again. Lord, I pray you would infuse people with hope. Infuse people with truth. And Lord, give us liberty and give us freedom to be who you've called us to be. To function the way you've called us to function. You go ahead and pray there. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, birth hope. Interpret hope for people. I feel like the Lord is saying this. The threat that you have been getting, you need to answer with the promise you've been given. Push back against the threat, with even if it's just what's written on the outline today. Take something from there. Take the truth of the Word of God and answer the threat with a promise. Exercise the reality that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Thank you, Lord. Vanquish fear in our thoughts. So when fear comes knocking, have a promise ready to answer with. Answer the threat, the feeling that comes with the threat, with the reality of the truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I know this is really simple, but you can answer fear with the simplest thing. You can just say, yes, Jesus loves me. Just that simple. Yeah, but Jesus loves me. Yeah, but he died for me. Yeah, but I've been chosen to obey, and you're not going to keep me from it. You can speak the truth. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. Now, if you can, kind of look up at me for a minute, and I will quit. Expect this. Expect that the enemy is going to try to trick you and use something to bamboozle you a little bit, something you hadn't tried before maybe, and make you all of a sudden kind of shocked back into fear. And what you got to do is just step right out of it. Just take a step right out of it and say, yeah, but. Because that's how he works. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And you can expect him to try to do that. If he's been manipulating you that way, he's going to continue to try to manipulate you that way. But you don't have to be a pawn. And you can say, you don't own me. I've been bought with a price. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Because that's real. Right? So don't fight it on your own. Use the book. Let the Holy Spirit empower the word in you. Okay? Is that good? Yes. Now, I'm going to stop. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And you're welcome to come Wednesday night at 6:30.
You gotta stop making me cry.
God bless you. Thank you. And thank you for watching today.